I will turn it over to Tammy.
Great job, John.
I thought you wore a suit for a reason.
Just to distract you.
All right, so in front of you is our proposed 2024 human services budget. Before we start, the class and comp annual increase is $1.7 million in our budget. We also put a 3% provider increase in the budget. Overall, everybody's 3%. There are a couple of adjustments. Some might have had some health insurance adjustments or meal cost adjustments in there. And then we'll start on page 2. So, for human services overall, our levy increase is $497,000 or 2.5%. Our funding is an increase of $1 million. Of this, the federal percentage is 40.8%. The state is 27.75%. Grants is 1.52%. And other 10.84%. Levy 19.5%.
Could you tell me?
Yep.
Is that up, down, about the same?
Yeah, so the federal has an increase and the state has a decrease. And then our levy increased 0.5%. And mostly due to the class and comp study. So most of our divisions have funded they can draw down. The health has really a lot of capped funding. This budget was approved unanimously by the Human Services Committee and Board on October 18th. So starting on page 3, we'll start with Brookside. I did start a new format this year, kind of a summary page that has budgeted highlights. The first column on the left, after the description, will say how everything's affected the reserve or the levy. In Brookside and Willowbrook, it's a reserve increase or decrease, and how that affected the expenses and the revenue and the FTEs. So this will help so we can kind of see each change and then how that flowed instead of going up here's FTEs, down here's revenue. So you can kind of see each thing as to how that affected all the way across. So for Brookside Care Center, they're not in the levy, they're in the reserves. We have a reserve increase of $225,000. So right now, the projected additional reserves is $640,000. We did have a clerical error, so the $545,000 is actually $640,000. They have staff recruitment and retention. So the class and comp adjustment and the annual increase was an additional $510,000. They are requesting a dollar premium pay for life enrichment staff who have the CNA license. That would be $13,000. A dollar premium pay for the environmental services worker lead. That would be an increase of $2,400. And then the admissions director is due to retire, so we have some succession planning in there, which is an increase of $20,000. The next section is the state budget increase in the Medicaid rate. So we went from $246 a day, and we're projecting to be up to $392 a day. So that's a 59% increase. So we increased our Medicaid revenue 2.5 million, but also offsetting this, we decreased the supplemental payment. We actually eliminated that, which historically was 900, usually around a million. Because the Medicaid rate is now going to be covering the costs, we no longer will have a supplemental payment that would normally cover our shortfall or a portion of our shortfall, never covered our full shortfall. Part 3. We have improved stability and efficiencies by focusing on long-term resident admissions. So in this, we are defunding a 1.0 third shift nursing supervisor, and we are retaining the 19.2 CNAs that were already defunded. So we have an expense decrease of $106,000. Our Med B revenue, we are decreasing $125,000. Private pay, our census, we're remaining at 128, which is what we budgeted for 2023. But the private pay, we are reducing from 38 to 35. So that's a reduction in revenue of $434,000. Our Medicare A and Advantage, we are decreasing from 36 to 22. That's an expense decrease for $646,000 and a revenue decrease of $3.1 million. And then our Medicaid census, we're increasing from 47 to 64, which is an increase in revenue of $2.4 million. Managed care, we're remaining at 7. Our next section is to sustain financial independence. Our private pay rate, we have an increase of $10, so going from $390 a day to $400 a day. So that's an increase in our revenue of $128,000. Our managed care rate, already contracted this year, went from $435 a day to $450 a day. That's an increase of $38,000. And then we also had ARPA funding in 2023 that we do not need. So that's a decrease of $185,000. Section 5, that is the clerical error. We had some adjustments for the medical insurance that were offset to interdepartmental. It actually should have went to reserves. So that's that $95,000. We have the dietary provider increase, $122,000. So last year in 2023, we made them have no increase, we kept them the same, but they did take over two vacancies that were county staff. So that's, could count for most of that $122,000. Laundry services, we contract that out. We're projecting to need an additional $55,000. Capital bonding, based on our needs, that's a decrease in revenue and expense of $1.3 million. And our cafe meals, based on where we're trending now, we have a decrease of $35,000. This budget was approved on October 9th unanimously by the Board of Trustees. Questions?
Discussion on Brookside.
I move approval.
There's a second.
Second.
Further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, okay, so and the next?
Willowbrook starts on page 10.
Okay.
So for Willowbrook, their reserves has an increase of $48,000. The staff and recruitment and retention, we have the class and comp, an annual increase, was an increase of $41,000. We have an increase for overtime of $10,000. And we are proposing to reclass the resident engagement assistance from an NE2 to an NE3, which would be an increase of $2,800. The sustained financial independence, we have a 5% rate increase proposed, which would increase the revenue $135,000. And the census for budget is 23 and a half of the 24 beds, and we're going to remain there. And 2023 also had some ARPA funding of $40,000, so there's a decrease because they will not need the ARPA funding. The dietary provider increase was 3.8%, so you'll see an increase of $6,300. And the capital that comes out of operations is a decrease of $7,600 because 2023 we had some washing machines and dryers that we do not need again. This was also approved unanimously on October 9th by the Board of Trustees. Questions on Willowbrook?
Discussion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All right. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, page 13 starts Office of the Director. So for Office of the Director, we are looking for a levy increase of $131,000 or 18.4%. The first section is the staff recruitment and retention. So the class and comp and annual increase is an increase in our expense of $31,000. And then we have we're funding the Assistant Human Services Director position for 2024, and that's $128,000. We also have an increase in our revenue for increased expenses. We are projecting that to be $38,000. And they have a slight 3% provider increase in their budget of $6,800. Questions on Office of the Director?
Is there a discussion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Central Services starts on page 15. For this, Central Services is split into two. One is the Job Center, which is levy neutral. And then we have the Countywide Mail Services. So that levy increase of $15,000 is for the mail services. For the Job Center, we have a 3% provider increase plus health insurance increase of $26,000. And then we have expenses that are allocated to the divisions of $26,000. And we have additional space rented by a tenant, so increase in our revenue, $563. Section two is the provide county mail services. We increased our postage account based on usage we are running at now, $10,000. And then the 3% provider increase is $4,800. Questions on Central Services?
Discussion?
Move yep. approval.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Page 18 starts the division of the workforce development. For this division, we are proposing a levy decrease of $66,000. In the budget highlights, we have staff recruitment and retention, the class and comp adjustment and annual increase. Increase the expenses to $191,000. We have a reclass of an economic support specialist from contracted to a county position. So there's an increase for that to be county as $91,000, but there's a decrease in our contracted position of $102,000. So we actually have some savings there. And then there you'll see a 1.0 increase all the way to the right column. The second section is our funding changes. So the Workforce Development has been awarded the Wisconsin Network for Safety grant. We have an increase in expense of $106,000 for a 1.0 FTE. And we have an increase offsetting that of revenue of $106,000. We have ending the access and visitation grant. So you see a decrease in expense of $44,000 and a decrease in revenue of $40,000. We have some additional federal funding in child support for our additional expenses of $95,000. Additional federal funding in our WIOA for $29,000, and federal funding additional in our income maintenance of $94,000. They as well have a 3% provider increase. The expense increased to $66,000, and the revenue to offset that increased $25,000. They also received some increases in funding for the state budget in the child support funding. So that equated to an increase in their revenue of $170,000. They received increase in shares grants and covered by ARPA funding of $50,000. Income maintenance, we had to add back in the food share drug testing, and they will be utilizing the health division for that. That's an increase in expense of $3,000. Liability insurance allocation was an increase in the expense of $13,000, an increase in the revenue of $6,500. And the building cost allocation was an increase in expense of $8,600 and an increase in the revenue of $4,300. Questions on the workforce development?
Discussion?
Move approval.
Second.
All right, there's a motion to approve. Further discussion? And then all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, the next division is the Veterans Division. It starts on page 21. For this division, we are proposing a levy increase of almost $91,000. The class and comp adjustment and annual increase was an increase of $14,000. And then we are requesting a 1.0 veterans benefits specialist. The expense increase is $67,000, and that's a 1.0 FTE increase. And then we are also requesting to reclass a veterans benefit representative to a veterans benefit specialist. And that's an increase in our expense of almost $6,000. Questions on the veteran services?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So before we move on, just a quick word on the Veterans Division. We did have interviews to replace our director of Veterans Office, and we are moving forward with offering that position to our assistant County Veteran Service Officer Jennifer Blasi. So you'll begin to see some of that as you sit on your boards and hearings as far as a resolution moving forward with that coming soon. So just an update there.
The next.
Just a second. All right, Yig just came in. You want to give her the handout there? Thank you.
We're on page 23.
Yes, thank you. The next division is the Office of the Medical Examiner. So for this division, we are proposing a levy decrease of $10,000. The class and comp adjustment and annual increase was an increase in expense of $7,300. And medical insurance, we had a change, a decrease of almost $15,000. We are requesting to replace the 2012 Chevy cargo van. So that's an expense increase and a revenue increase of $55,000. For autopsies, which is one of the main drivers of this budget, we are proposing to increase the regular autopsies from 146 to 157. And the pediatric autopsies will remain at 4. So that is an expense increase of $19,800. And then we are allowed to increase our revenue by the consumer price index increase yearly. That increase is $21,000. Questions on the medical examiner?
Discussion?
Move approval.
Second.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
The next division is health services. It is on page 26. The health services is requesting a levy increase of $373,000 or 20.9%. The staff recruitment and retention section, the class and comp adjustment and annual increases increase their expenses $390,000. They are requesting to replace a clinic nurse practitioner with a nursing supervisor, which is a decrease in expense of $3,300. They would like to replace their home visiting public health nurse with a public health strategist. That's a decrease in expense of $16,000. And they would like to replace a public health tech with a laboratory tech, which is an increase of just under $6,000. I know you guys heard public works, so this is their transfer of the POUT system. So we have transferring a 1.0 environmental health tech and a 0.5 environmental sanitarian. So that's the decrease of the 1.5 FTEs. The expense decrease associated with that is $120,000. There is also some revenue associated with this program. So we have a decrease in the revenue of $70,000, which will go to Public Works. We as well have some funding changes. So the Division of Health was awarded a public health infrastructure grant for $442,000. This is for 5 years. So in the 2024 budget, we have $110,000 increase in revenue. We have some health-specific ARPA funding, increase in expense of $275,000, an increase in revenue of $392,000. We have COVID funding that ended. It's a decrease in expense of $264,000 and a decrease in revenue, $357,000. SAMHSA, the removal of the 2023 carryover, is a decrease in expense of $26,000, a decrease in revenue of $42,000. The asthma grant, we have an increase in the volume, which increases our expenses $39,000 and increases our revenue $50,000. Nurse family partnership increase of the expense increase of $60,000, revenue increase of $77,000. The HUD, we have a new 3-year term starting, increase in expense of $47,000 and an increase in revenue of $97,000. And the WIC program, we have an increase in expense of $19,000 and an increase in revenue of $17,000. We also in this division have the fiscal services increase of $92,000. This is not all the provider increases, also a portion of our Medicaid reimbursement specialist who is fully doing health division work. We also have the city contribution phase out of $100,000. We have the maintenance increase for new lab equipment, increase in expense of $16,000. We have some vehicle leases that are due for renewal. That's an increase of $9,400. The liability insurance allocation was an increase of $6,200. And we eliminated WIC office space. That's a decrease of $8,000. Questions on the health division?
Discussion? Where are we in terms of appointing a director there?
That process should be going through the board shortly. Lori Palmer, who is our interim director, we plan on moving her forward in the very near future for your consideration.
And her, what was her position before?
She was the
clinical services manager
for health. So she's been doing that for approximately 2 years.
Hey, John.
What are the plans for the to replace the city contribution phase out there, or are there no plans?
Replace it with, do you have some ideas? we've got the new public health infrastructure grant that kind of offsets it, that $110,000. It's only for 5 years, that it kind of will offset it, but they don't have any additional funding sources that we can tap into.
So what was the reason, that the city discontinued that?
There was an agreement. I don't know, Patty or Byron, if you want to talk on the agreement with the land and the decrease or the road.
There was an MOU passed by the board in 22, I think it was in March, which had a variety of different agreements between the city and the county, one of which was the city exiting the agreement, the health agreement that they had. And the phase out is over a 6-year period, decreasing their contribution by $100,000 a year, down to nothing.
Yep, I do remember that, and that's why I was curious if we had anything to replace that.
No. The highway part that Tammy was referring to, there are some jurisdictional transfers and different things that are involved in that whole agreement that were settled at that time.
Thank you.
Sure.
Anything else here? All right, ready to vote? Yes?
I vote yes.
I didn't know it was a roll call, but.
Make a motion.
I make a motion.
Right, so Dave voted yes.
I voted yes.
I second it.
I know, it's getting late apparently.
All right, do the rest of you want to?
Well, might as well turn it into a roll call.
I think Dave's saying it, kind of turned it in already.
No, it'll be a roll call.
All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The next division is the Aging, Disability, and Behavioral Health Services on page 30. They are proposing a levy decrease of $66,000. In the class and comp adjustment annual increase was an increase in their expense of $81,000. We're also requesting 2.0 FTEs from contracted to county for adult protective services. The expense increase is $201,000 and the contracted expense decrease is $179,000. And then you see the 2.0 additional FTE all the way to the right there. They as well received some additional funding in the state budget. We have adult protective services funding, an increase of revenue for $50,000, and resource center, an increase in revenue for $50,000. Other funding changes, the independent living support program, for the full year is $194,000 increase in expense and revenue. The federal Title III-B, Old Americans Act, is an increase of $92,000. The federal Title III-C, Old Americans Act, is increase in expense of $29,000 and an increase in revenue of $36,000. The 5311 transportation funding is a decrease in expense of $140,000 and a decrease in revenue of $92,000. The Comprehensive Community Support Program has been moved to the DCFS budget. We did move that in 2023. They have some reconciliation money in there for 2023, so that is a decrease of $400,000. And then ARPA funds they had in the 2023 budget is not in the 2024 budget, so that's a reduction of the $280,000. We also have a reduction in placements for the Lake Behavioral Health contract, a reduction in expense of $773,000. We have a reduction in the Mental Health Resource Center, $102,000. A reduction in the Behavioral Health Clinic of $40,000. A reduction in the Information Assistance and Access of $49,000, a reduction in the Behavioral Health 2023 for clerical errors, $126,000, changes to crisis billing by state, it's actually a federal change, was a decrease in expense of $230,000 and a decrease in revenue of $508,000. The 3% provider increase in their budget was an increase to expense of $291,000. We also started a new section for the opioid settlement fund. In there, we have a 1.0 community education prevention specialist that was approved in 2023. So that's a 1.0 increase, and the increase in expense and revenue is $119,000. And then we have some additional expense and revenue increases for the opioid abatement programs of $159,000. Their liability insurance allocation was an increase of $10,000.
Can you expand on that opioid, what you're doing there specifically?
At this point, their plan is education in the schools, and that's what's been approved so far for the 1.0 position. And then the opioid abatement programs, it's more of a placeholder, and then they will come across in front of the commission, the group, to get approval on what they're going to utilize that for.
That's starting next year. Nothing's going on this year.
We did start the 1.0 education prevention specialist in 2023, and that was already approved by the board.
And you're going to all of the schools, all of the grades? Or?
So right now, the program that they're looking at is for high school students. So he's been involved in reaching out to Wilmot, who is interested in putting it into their ninth grade health curriculum, and also Central High School, west of the I, has expressed interest in this program. So we're starting there, and we'll work our way into the unified in other schools as requested and needed. So. That's where.
So are you waiting for invitations from the school?
Yes, I am. No, I'm not waiting for an invitation. We will continue to push that as we sit down with the schools and get their input. And I think once Central heard about Wilmot doing it, they said, hey, we also want to make that part of our health curriculum. So I think it will gain momentum as people become more aware of it. And it's a best practice program that we're purchasing, and the staff in the schools will actually be doing the work with the kids.
You expect that to be in the high schools in Kenosha?
I would hope so, yes.
John?
Yeah, the line 11 there, how much of that is for Narcan?
Right now, none of that would be for Narcan.
So what line would that be in?
Narcan is in that.
Yeah, it's over at health.
Okay. So we're not there, right?
We already did that for Division 1. I don't have the exact numbers on what that is for the Narcan, but we can get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Bill?
Just to follow up on this community education for the opioid settlement, the person was put in position this year. We're going to budgetarily authorize it for 2024. The funding from this comes from the opioid settlement that we get as a county. So based upon that, do we see this being a renewable thing annually as long as we have that opioid money? Is that the plan that we're going forward on the presumption here?
Yes.
So based upon that, if you look into your crystal ball with the money we have for the opioid settlement, this position would be covered for how long in rough terms? 2 years, 3 years?
Well, right now we have approximately $1.7 million of settlement money. So depending on what other expenses come out of that for other programming, this position we secure for
The foreseeable future?
Yes.
Yes.
That's my question, thank you.
Further discussion?
Move approval.
Is there a second?
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear. This program is volunteer by the schools, right? It's not required. So
if they make it part of their curriculum, the kids in there would have to go through it. But yeah, we're not, we're school, offering it to the school,
the school
as a
gets to choose
correct
if they're gonna
correct
it, so
correct.
I just thought that would be important to be aware of.
Correct.
All right, was there a second on Dave's motion?
Second.
Further discussion? I'm seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
The next division is the Division of Children and Family Services on page 35. So for this division, they are proposing an increase in levy of $30,000 or 0.3%. The class and comp study for this division was an expense increase of $385,000. We have funding changes. We have an increase in youth aids of $740,000. We have a decrease in the basic community aids, and it's actually an allocation to the Office of the Director, $455,000. And we have an increase for the Comprehensive Community Services, an increase in expense of $50,000, and an increase in revenue of $247,000. The 3% provider increase was an increase in the expense of $431,000. Our court-ordered out-of-home placements, the Racine ACE rate went from $400 a day to $625 a day, which increased the expense $739,000. And the corrections decrease of the volume from five, an average of five a day, to 2.5, and that's a decrease in the expense of $1 million. We had a clerical error in the gang prevention from 2023 that we fixed. That's a decrease of $64,000. The middle school and high school liaison program is an increase in expense and revenue that KUSD is covering for $32,000. The liability insurance allocation was an increase of $13,000. And they did receive a Youth Justice Innovation Grant of $100,000 after we had submitted the budget. But that would be an increase in revenue and expense.
What is it?
That's a grant that is designed to work with kids that are truanting from ages 11 to, I think, 16. So we'll be concentrating on kids west of the I and trying to get them re-engaged, their families re-engaged in school.
Just west of?
Yeah, because of the small amount. The other programs we have in the Unified are doing similar work, but...
I see.
Yeah, we're going to... There's not enough work out there. There's plenty of this side, too.
What is this middle high school liaison?
Those are positions that we've had for a number of years that the Unified funds half of those, and we've come up with half of the money. And they're working with at-risk kids. A lot of them are involved in our youth justice system in the court to make sure they're engaged in school, getting passing grades, attending, not getting suspended. That connection, they're in the school working with the kids.
And what does this mean? Basic community aids allocation to the office of the director was decreased by $455,000. Explain that.
So a couple of years ago, there's two basic community aids, one that comes from the state, the health services, and one that comes from Children and Family Services with the state. And historically, they've always allocated to both divisions, the aging, disability, and DCFS, the Children and Family Services, on our side. About 2 or 3 years ago in the budget, we split those. So now the Division of Aging gets the full amount from Health Services, and DCFS gets the full amount from Children and Family Services. During that, nobody allocated to the Office of the Director, so we had a shortfall there. It just got missed in the changes. So we are putting that back in to cover the Office of the Director. So it's not a decrease in funding, it's just when all that happened, they forgot to allocate a portion. They've been budgeting the full amount of the revenue instead of allocating less the amount that needs to go to the Office of the Director.
So it's somewhere else in the budget, you're saying?
It's in the Office of the Director's revenue, but we've been covering it with our surpluses. So we should have noticed it like a couple of years ago.
So this is something from the state?
No change in the state. It was an error on our side.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple things in this budget. So in committee, I understood this just to be an allocation, but it's not net, it's not a levy increase. It's just an allocation. Is that correct?
Yes, it is a levy. It is an allocation. However, in previous years, we had this funding in the Office of the Director in revenue, but it was double counted. It was in DCFS's budget.
So it is a levy increase. It was a double count.
It was double counted.
And so this is adjusting.
Correct.
It's a correction.
Fix that. Yep.
Okay, good. So it is a correction. All
yes.
Right. Yeah, I remember now. Good. Yeah. So, and then the other thing we talked about in committee was this $400 to $625 per day, and I did ask about the strategy that you have to address this, and now you've had a little more time to think about that, so maybe we could discuss the strategy that we have on this increase.
Sure. So this is a rate that is set by Racine. I know in the past that we reach out to them and negotiate. I know our county exec has had discussions with their county exec about the rate. As I indicated last week when we met, I would expect that rate to increase significantly when they open up their secure residential child care center for youth. SRCCY is the acronym in case you're interested, in January 25. because the state is pulling back from the corrections business,
right.
And kids that end up in corrections are going to be kids that are in serious trouble, and they're phasing into these SRCCYs where we're going to have another rate set that's going to be much larger than this. So it's a continued discussion with Racine County going into next year. They've been pretty amenable to meet us halfway in a lot of these negotiations, and this is just where that settled this year.
So this rate could go up to $800 a day?
Corrections is about $1,200 a day right now, Supervisor Gerson, so I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a similar rate in 25, somewhere in that neighborhood.
So we'll be putting $500,000 to $1 million more in the levy every year for the next few years, and I see the county executive. Did you want to make any comment on this?
I just wanted to let you know that I did.
Sorry.
Is it okay, Chairman?
Through the chair to the county executive.
I did talk to County Exec Del Grave, and obviously this is a cost that their county is impacted by, and the ACE program has been successful. I've gone up and toured their facility up there. It is really a way to help kids that are some of our most challenged kids in the community. So, unfortunately, the costs in this area are just going up, and Director Francis said will only probably increase even more as the facility comes online. But it is truly a way to keep the kids local, so that can help be a component of their healing and getting them, back into the community in a way that that helps them be positive influence going forward instead of some of the challenges they have.
Thank you. That answers. So I yield.
All right. Anyone else?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. One other question. On this Racine fee, what about some of the other places that you've Washington County, based people there? And
so yeah, Washington.
What are their rates? And what are you doing there?
So Washington County, that's the detention centers, and that's under Mary Byer's budget and juvenile intake. So I know Washington County historically has had a lower rate for detaining kids than Racine County, but the ACE program is strictly a Racine model where you're sending kids for 120 to 150 days into that facility for treatment. Yeah, I figured you would be.
So this is the ACE program.
Yes. Yeah, not detention.
I'm familiar with it, not because I've been.
Well, no, I was.
You're a frequent flyer.
So my way. We're
what did you think of the program, sir?
He's really grown from the experience.
An example of success. Yeah.
All
right. Anyone else? Bill.
Just looking at the first page here, we're looking at a 4.5 FTE increase. You know, this is your first page of the pie chart and so forth. And we know that the number of these, have gone from contract workers to now direct county employees. It seems to be a trend going on more than just in human services. Can you comment specifically on your insight, proposed advantages, disadvantages, any comments going forward?
I think I can certainly speak to a couple of the positions. It was the requirements that we had in it, for example, the quality analyst position in workforce development. We were requiring somebody to have at least 2 years of economic support experience, which is a county worker. You can't do that unless you're a county worker in the state of Wisconsin. And it became difficult for our provider to recruit and find someone when the wages were so much different. So it just made sense to bring that in-house because that's the position that investigates and helps trigger fraud, potential fraud cases in that world. So its position has been vacant for close to a year now, and we just thought we had to try something different. And the Division of Aging and Disability and Behavioral Health Services, the conversion of two adult protective service workers, really is about, I think, a fairness there too, because that unit historically has been split between contracted and county staff, and the county staff always generally had better benefits and pay, and sure. It got difficult for the provider then to keep up with that. Right. So that's kind of what we're looking at, those sort of things, not an across the board. it makes more sense to do it one way or the other. It's a case by case specific.
And that seems to be the story we're hearing over and over again with our director of human resources. mentioning as much in a tightened labor market, this seems to be the way that things are heading with. That's my question. I'm done. Thanks.
Any other discussion before we close? Any other discussion or questions of the speakers? All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point out to everyone at your spots, there's a hard copy of the budget resolution and all of the attachments as you requested back then. So we have that picked out.
We have our homework.
We
have it. All right, anyone else? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Oh.